Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador Laurie Blake.
Hey, mate.
Hey, bud.
How's it going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
Very well.
Good week?
It's been fun so far, yeah.
Yeah? Been nice. Keeping yourself busy?
Yeah. I've basically done nothing beyond play D&D this week, so that was it's been very chill.
Well, that's because you and I had a very busy weekend.
Yes, we did indeed.
Going to WrestleGate Pro up in Nottingham mm-hmm. on the Saturday, which was a very, very fun show.
That was
show.
A lot of fun.
And talking with Hangman Page afterwards. Mm-hmm. And we then went, we did Money in the Bank on Sunday.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was Monday was a total write-off for me. How was your couple of days off?
They were very quiet. Yeah. Mostly because I kept shushing people. But then, yeah, we played D&D and that was about it.
So yeah.
Mostly recovery. I think emotional recovery more than physical recovery from the letdown that was Money in the Bank,
yeah.
where everything was good on paper but terrible in practice.
Terrible in execution.
Really weird that. I was just watching it just going, I just can't believe, like, I love all these ideas.
Yeah.
But they're just badly done.
These are just not very
good. And then Brock, obviously. And then I was like, okay, well, I've lost it now.
Yeah.
I can't.
It was a bit of a fever dream moment.
This is indefensible.
Yeah, it was a bit of fever dream at times for that show. But yeah, it was a bit of a fun weekend at the very least.
Yes, it was.
And we've got
fun.
Another fun weekend coming up because we're going to be live streaming Double or Nothing. The predictions for that will be released tomorrow mm-hmm. in the podcast feed, along with interviews with some of the stars of All Elite Wrestling, which will also be going up tomorrow in the podcast feed.
Ooh.
Might go up on Saturday, because I don't think we're doing a magazine show this week. I don't think so, anyway. I need to check with Ollie.
I'll do the magazine show.
Sorry?
I'll do the magazine show.
Well, I mean, I might end
up... I mean, I'm in tomorrow. So.
Yeah, I mean, I might come in tomorrow, in all fairness. I'm not meant to be, but I might come in tomorrow just to do a couple of things. So there might be a magazine show. Maybe we'll do one, but we don't know. But yeah, so anyway, we're going to crank into the show now because we are short on time because we were just recording those AEW predictions. We're going to be talking about NXT and the return of Prince Pretty to the Black and Yellow brand. Here's the show. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog. We're kicking things off today, talking about the Tyler Breeze return to NXT. So this had actually been, you know, it leaked a while ago mm-hmm. because, spoilers, you know, TV tapings happen and people tend to find out. So we knew more or less through the job that we do that this was going to be the North American Championship match at NXT TakeOver 25. But it was an amazing reaction from the NXT audience who didn't know
it was because coming. I guess because the Dijakovic injury probably hadn't been...
Dijakovic.
I can't remember how to say. It's difficult to remember to say it sometimes. Dijakovic, Dominic's injury hadn't been like public knowledge by the point the tapings were done. So it kind of like, this would have been fairly shocking, I imagine.
Absolutely, yeah. And this isn't the first time we've seen him.
Like, no.
Was it this year when
he popped back to face Ricochet for the North American Championship in an open challenge. But that was just like a tease, really, wasn't it? Did he have this gear at that time? Was that this one or was it...
I can't remember. He was in full Prince Pretty mode, or whether he.
Yeah, I seem to recall he was in
Prince Pretty mode. He wasn't in Breezango mode. Because I think I remember writing at the time he's in full Prince Pretty mode. But I could be very much wrong on that. I might be misremembering it. But this is now, as far as we know, an official demotion, some might call it, from Raw to NXT. And he's just going to be in NXT now for the time being.
Do you think this isn't just a stopgap?
I thought this was part of the superstar shakeup. is that he's gone back, because apparently Killian Dane's also gone back as well.
Is it not just that there's a dearth of people now in NXT, and they were like, well, we need new guys on Raw and SmackDown, because clearly these other guys that we've not done anything with aren't... These aren't working!
This heavy machinery is broken!
Yeah, exactly. Send it back to the shop. But yeah, like, they need people to fill those gaps, so it's good to have a safe pair of hands that you can kind of throw in there.
Yeah.
And obviously, with injuries and all that kind of stuff, plans fell through that seemed to have been being put in place. What better way to just... You can just kickstart a two-week feud here just by going, it's this guy, of course he's going
to
get a shot.
Poor old Dijakovic as well. Like, that's twice that's happened to him now. He was meant to have a big match with Keith Lee the previous takeover, but Keith Lee got injured. Then he was meant set for having his match against Dream for the North American Championship at TakeOver 25, and now he's bloody injured.
Yeah,
poor old lads.
Oh.
But yeah, Prince Pretty came out, and this was a really nice segment, because Velveteen Dream came out first and said that people don't want to just feel the dream.
No.
They want to experience the dream.
Want to hold the dream. But the dream's too big to hold.
Yeah, he is.
He's talking about his penis.
He's the champion, so you can't. You just feel the dream. He's too big to hold, and he's interrupted by Tyler Breeze. Mm-hmm. The commentary freaks out. Crowd explodes. Welcome home. Full on Prince Pretty entrance. He's got the selfie mode on and everything. Loved all this. And I did think when these two stood next to each other in the ring, I was like, this is somewhat of a dream match, really.
Because it makes perfect sense.
Right, it makes absolutely perfect sense. The characters are so similar, and that's kind of what like drove this whole segment.
I absolutely love this segment.
Yeah.
I stopped multiple times just to say out loud to the office while watching it. I was just like, I love this! No one knew what I was doing.
Yeah. I love all of this! So good!
Yeah, happened over and over again. But I just thought it was... They played off each other so well. And the put-downs and it was a real ego battle here. Like, Dream saying that, like, oh, when you're sat in the canteen on Monday and Tuesday nights, you can't just decide to come back here.
Yeah.
Like, and demand the spotlight.
Yeah.
Oh, so
great.
Good.
It was basically, you couldn't cut it on Monday and Tuesday nights. You can't cut it here on NXT anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it was so good, because poor old Tyler Breeze's story, and that's why I really, really appreciate about this. And I think they're tying into a lot of sort of like real life things here with the character. He is a main roster failure.
Yeah.
He is someone that went up to the main roster. They clearly had something in mind for him, because he went straight into a feud with Dolph Ziggler, and they paired him up with Summer Rae as Summer Breeze. And they were going to be this sort of like heel double act.
Yeah.
And then, perhaps this might come as a bit of a shock to both of you now.
No.
WWE got bored and gave up on him.
They fumbled it.
And they gave up, and he just instantly became a jobber. And then they would put him with Breezango. Mm-hmm. They put him with Fandango, rather.
To make Breezango.
And they did the Fashion Police. And they liked that for a bit, but then got bored of it.
Yeah.
And they had a big match with the Usos, Backlash 2017.
Yeah.
And then that was more or less about it. And then poor old Breezango, I did it again, Fandango got injured and sort of Tyler's been floundering.
Well, I think a lot of their problem with stuff is that they do just pick up ideas and drop it. And then ideas that are working on SmackDown get taken to Raw. And then when they don't pop the Raw ratings, because nothing will pop the Raw ratings.
Apart from Brock Lesnar.
But like, generally speaking, everything they try on Raw and they go, oh, that didn't pop the ratings, kill it.
Yeah,
like,
not doing that anymore.
Yeah, it's so dumb. It's like, it's not like you don't have 3 hours to fill.
Someone tweeted me today saying, like, do you think they've given up on Firefly Funhouse because there wasn't a segment on it this week? And I was like, no, he'll just debut in 5 weeks' time. There won't be any more segments. It'll be like Mojo all over again.
We'll
just debut in 5 weeks' time and pretend that that's always been the build.
I think realistically what they do is, like, for segments, they give you a day. They go, like, here's a day, go and film 5 segments. So as many segments as you can film in a day. That's how long your run start is for a character. And then they're like, sorry, we can't afford any more days of you filming something.
But they tapped into this stuff with Tyler Breeze here, at least Velveteen Dream was. Dream was essentially playing this role of, and it's very difficult to work out who's babyface and who's heel here.
Mm.
And I don't think either of them are. It very much is a case of, you're either a fan of the Dream or you're a fan of Breeze.
Yes.
Or in some cases, you might be a fan of both. But it's very much a case of, are you on the camp of this new crop of NXT WWE guys is better, and this is the best we've ever had it, or are you one of those nostalgic fans like, I miss the old days of NXT?
Because he said in the promos, was like, I'm an OG NXT guy.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, I'm the original breed of NXT.
He was part of that first like inaugural class. The first takeover event. I think he was part of the main event. I think it was that Fatal 4-Way. It was shortly close out. Oh, no, I think the Fatal 4-Way came a couple of months
later.
Took
on Jushin Thunder Liger at one takeover.
He did, the first Brooklyn show. Yeah. He took on Jushin Thunder Liger. So he really is, as he says, an NXT OG. And so as... you know, fans like us who were watching NXT back then, this is a wonderful moment anyway to see Tyler Breeze back in NXT. But then to see him face someone who was kind of like the future of NXT in a certain way, Velveteen Dream, is such an interesting prospect.
But he's also that character. He's also almost the Tyler Breeze character taken to a conclusion where, like, Tyler Breeze was a cartoon character. When he, like, he's a very good, he's an amazing talent. But his whole shtick was very, like, whimsical and cartoony. Dream is like the Christopher Nolan version of that character. It's like the gritty, like, he's not gritty, he's silly, but he is like the realistic,
that's what you're saying,
egomaniac character comparatively.
He's a fashion model, but
Dream debuted with the, like, I'm a Tyler Breeze-esque thing, with the being the musician type vibe, and he's turned it into Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Yeah. So you have these sort of like back and forth, these sort of jibes back and forth. And then eventually Dream is going to go out of the ring. He says, you know, if you're tired of sitting and catering, you should get to the back of the line with everyone else.
That's where
it starts. I don't want to leave on bad terms. So why don't you have
a... I don't want to leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
He's talking about his penis.
Would you like to have a selfie with the champ? This isn't going to happen very often. Mm-hmm. In fact, it may never happen again. Take a selfie with the champ. And Breeze, should I do this? Should I have a, should I have a selfie with the champ? I'll show you how it's done. Got one last piece of advice. When you put your number on your trunks and no one calls you up, it's because no one's interested. Oh, and the crowd knew exactly what he's dialing into. All of his call me up Vince stuff that he's been doing, and he still hasn't been called up. It's a real nice bit of realism there of a wrestler saying, like, mate, no one's interested in you on the main roster. And I should know, because I'm on the main roster.
Yeah. And then he turns around and decks him.
And he clocks him and lays him out. I thought this was a wonderful segment. I loved this.
The only thing I was doing, like, in that last bit, I was like, selfie, shot, beauty shot. And I was like, he's going to say something about a shot and then give him the beauty shot. And it's like, it didn't happen. I was like, actually, it was better.
Yeah.
That put down was so perfectly judged.
Exactly. And he, Kathy Kelly interviews Tyler Breeze outside, and they announce later in the show that it is going to be Tyler Breeze versus the Velveteen Dream for the NXT North American Championship at TakeOver 25. A show that, during this episode, because you were watching this in the office, you just took your headphones off and turned to me and said, like, I'm actually annoyed we're away this weekend.
I'm really annoyed.
Yeah, because we're in Birmingham this weekend. I'll just bring my laptop and we'll launch up the network and just hope that the Travel Lodge Wi-Fi is good enough for us to be able to watch the show. Which, you know.
Skype me. I'll just put it on there.
Skype you and we'll just watch the feed via my laptop as it's pointed to... I mean, it could work.
It could, very much could.
It could work. But I thought it was a great segment, and I'm so looking forward to that match. And I really
As a replacement hope, match, yeah. it really, really works.
Like, yeah. yeah. And I really do hope that we are going to get Tyler Breeze staying in NXT.
Mm.
Because we've talked about this on the show before, we've talked about this on the magazine show as well, is that I don't think there's a problem, apart from the pay structure problem, of sending guys that you're not using on Raw and SmackDown to just go for a TV taping cycle down in NXT. You're only losing them for a day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like there's absolutely no harm in that. If they were going to sit backstage anyway and just do the house show circuit, send them for a day. They can do 5 weeks of actual TV stuff down there and still just do the house show circuit when they come back. It makes perfect sense. Especially when you're like, you know, and it should be that case of this revolving door, like we've said before, especially between NXT, NXT UK and 205, they should definitely be sharing talent. Like, and when NXT Germany starts and all these other places that can actually, you know, get that going properly. But with Raw and SmackDown as well, I am shocked that guys can't just go up for a bit and come back down.
Yeah.
It just seems so dumb when you've got, like, you're clearly in need of, they're desperate for any kind of excitement to the point where they're like, here's a belt, here's a rule, here's a thing. Like, they're just every week picking something up and going, this? No?
We turn the lights off. keep watching the third hour.
Yeah, it's just, this would be the easiest way to do it because you will get, if you said Pete Dunne's going to be here next week, people from the UK would probably be like, I have to watch Raw.
Going
to
watch it next week, like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm hoping that we get Tyler Breeze staying in NXT for a little while. Because as you say, he's not doing anything on the main roster. Mm-hmm. At least here. And you start running through the names. Breeze versus Cole. Breeze versus Matt Riddle. Breeze versus Kushida. Breeze versus Gargano. You start running through all these guys. Keith Lee. Dominik Dijakovic when he's back. And you're like, I want to see all of these matches. Because I think a lot of people do forget how good Tyler Breeze is.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Breeze is an awesome, awesome wrestler.
Is it because he dressed like a granny for half the matches in Breezango?
Well, that's it. Yeah, it could very well be.
But that's the silly thing. Those were great. I love that. That feud that they had with the Usos where they were like, they kept doing the Master of Disguise thing. I love that gimmick.
It had one of my favorite spots. I don't know if this was the Backlash match or whether it was on a SmackDown, but there was a spot when the Usos went up to do a splash, and it was either Breeze or Fandango
rolling away
to that the
was,
other
that
corner.
Was, that was Breeze.
It was at Breeze. And so the Uso got off, went to the other corner to do the splash, and Breeze just
rolled
back
really
to the other corner.
But that was also the one where, because he was dressed as the old lady cleaner.
Yeah.
No, he was dressed as the janitor, and then he switched to be the old lady after that. And then they ran up to do a super kick, and he just went, woo! That was really fun.
Breeze is not only gorgeous, he's great.
He's really good.
So I'm hoping we'll get
Xavier
more.
Xavier Woods, sad to see him go.
Well, yeah, quite. He definitely wanted to do him on SmackDown, so they could just do more up, up, down, down, and play D&D together.
Yeah.
Nerds.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Which actually brings us to our $25 shoutouts, which we've got to do very quickly because my laptop is going to run out of battery.
Oh, no.
And I've not plugged it in. So if you can see, I've had to darken the screen down before it runs out.
Yes.
If you want to become one of our $25 and above pledge hammers, head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk and get into that $25 and above tier, and you get your name shouted out in the Wrestle Ramble like this guy, Randy Datsun's former number one fan,
Tomo.
What? Yes. I'm not clapping that.
The monster among patrons, Brian Strowman.
Oh, yes, good man.
Jonathan, King of the Ring.
Yeah, Jonathan Ring, nice. Bad connection, Thomas Lagden. Lagden.
Gary Burger and Fries.
Oh, nice. You son of a bitch. Dylan Tyrell Reed.
Nice, good impersonation as well. Josh Fenwick, Chapter 2.
Nice. Okay, yeah. Shimmy Gangot, Zachary Robert Crowley Barros.
Oh, good read,
Where's she gone? Martin Santoyo, Talking to Me.
Yo, Talking to Me.
Yes. That's what we're going for.
Let's have a drink. Christopher Travis Merriman.
Yay. Tantalizing Travis Manktalo.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Lovely
read.
Stuff.
Good.
Ooh,
read.
Stream Slayer.
Stream Slayer. Larry, say it ain't so, oh, oh, Spee.
Yes. Master of the Mayor Lock, Joe Mayer.
That is it. Is that all of them?
No, there's one more.
There's one more.
And he can last Sean for longer than you in the ring.
Yes, he sure
that
can.
That was awful.
That
he sure
was
can.
Really overworked.
Tenuous is what I do best. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog. Breaking. Into the Super Chats, Randall Batson.
We will start not with a Super Chat, but with a normal chat from someone called Michael Williams, who says, "Hi, my name is Michael. I'm 11 years old, and I really like Luke Owen. Can you please tell him that I like him so much? He's my favourite person ever. I want to know now if he likes me too. Thank you.
Like you. Absolutely, I do. That's really nice.
I know.
That's really, really sweet.
What about me?
Oh, who he added? El Fakador's a bit of a knob.
Wow. Randy, right in the comments again.
So
thank you so much for that. That's really made my day. Really has.
But we start on the Super Chats with Dave H, who says, "Hi, I'm Michael." No, he doesn't say that. He says, "Hello to my favourite wrestling news channel and the SWAF Nation from Patreon Dave the Aussie Experience. I had to stay up, but I've got work at 5 a.m.
Oh,
so
mate.
That's for him, that's in about... Four hours.
I think the Australians truly are our most hardcore fans.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. They like, feel like we have a really strong Aussie contingent.
Yeah, they're doing what we do for pay-per-views, but for us.
And I would say it's probably just as good as Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Really
hey,
good.
Brock Lesnar isn't going to turn up at the end, so, you know.
Good ideas on paper, terrible in execution.
We've got Jobber JJ saying NXT isn't a demotion, it's home. And also shout out my name. That's Jobber JJ.
Yes, well, as I said, it's a demotion of sorts because you're going from the main roster to NXT. But, you know, it's called
demotion. In WWE's
exactly.
Like, parlance,
in the eyes of Pritchard, it is. But to me, it's not. If anything, it's an upgrade.
Yeah.
You get on TV.
You get to be on TV, have good storyline.
You get to do that segment.
You get to immediately go into a title match.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you would go back.
Yeah. You got to shout out his name as well, Jobber JJ.
Jobber JJ.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you for all of your suggestions as well when we do 2K19 over on ScreenStalker. We very much appreciate all
one
the
loyal
jobber matches that you make us do. Sorry we did one, I think it was before Money in the Bank, where we just forgot that the ref was counting and just got counted out.
That happens so often.
Laura Lowell says, "Luke apologising is so sweet. He's now my favourite. Here's an undisclosed amount of money. Also, just started the stream from the beginning. Hello from the past."
Hello to you from the past. Thank you very, very much. It's really, I should have apologized. Well, I was very unprofessional.
Way out of line.
I was way out of line.
Laura, are you going to apologize for?
What am I going to apologize for? What
just
I done?
Your general behavior.
No.
Okay. Luke Witt says, "Will more people come back even with the large pay cut?"
I think there might be a bit of a shift in this. I think we might see more people go back. I don't know which. I'm not going to speculate names or anything like that, but I could see them, you know, on a TV. Because the roster is so bloated right now on both shows that there are just people who aren't even used on house shows.
Yeah.
So you may as well send them there.
Yeah.
And just say it's a developmental thing. We're just keeping them there to keep off the ring.
Well,
rust
it depends.
And
but,
like
it,
that.
But it depends if it's like. It's actually it depends if one, Tyler Breeze is staying, or and two, if it's just like you just go back for a couple of TV tapings, is it actually like a step down? Is there a new contract or are you just getting paid? Because currently they're paying him not to do anything anyway. Like he's on
exactly.
money to not do anything, so he might as well do something.
Yeah.
And they probably just, if they're happy to pay him to not be on Raw or SmackDown or whichever, I don't even know which one he's on. One of them.
I think it's Raw.
Yeah, exactly. So they're paying him to not be on something. So like, just send him there and pay him the same. You clearly don't care what the pay is. Like,
do you want to hear my prediction?
They just don't want him to be at AEW. Is what they want.
Here is my prediction. On that note, my new bold prediction: the Revival are going to go back to NXT for a spell.
Oh, I hope so.
And that will be their make do. If they want them to like re-sign, it's just like, we'll send you back to NXT. Make you champs again. You can go down there and have a run down in NXT because when, you know, we don't really want you on the main roster as it is. And like, because they gave them the belts as a way to be like, look, things will get better. So part of that, things will get better, which is apparently what they told Sasha Banks and all the other people that requested their release, send them back to NXT for a bit. That's the it will get better.
That's not a very good promise.
Well, no, it's not a great promise, but I could see the revival taking up
Go back there for a bit, and then when you come back here, we'll do the same again.
But you can imagine the revival.
Until the point where you have to go back and get... It's like you have to return to your like home planet to get your mana back because you've spent...
I have
spent,
to go now. I've spent
all of my life force at Raw.
I could see Undisputed Era winning at TakeOver 25 and they come out saying, we've beaten all the NXT tag teams. Who's going to be our first contenders? And out come the revival and we have a revival Undisputed Era feud in NXT.
But the thing is, I think that anyone, even jobbers on the main roster, can just go down and feel instantly special on NXT. Like Tyler Breeze or like, I don't know, who else is... Who
Drew
else
Gulak
done?
When he turned. Yeah. Like,
Jinder Mahal.
Anyone. Like, yeah. Maybe not.
Not Jinder, yeah. I mean, I think they have to be at least come through the indies in a quite strong way.
Jinder Mahal was in like that tournament to crown the first NXT champion.
He was in the final.
That's right.
Sorry.
He's an NXT OG.
Yeah, he is.
People forget that. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I think you've got to have sort of like name recognition within NXT. So like if a Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn went back, that would be like mega star reactions.
But also if you were just a Ring of Honor guy who hadn't gone through NXT and you were in WWE, that sort of thing too, I think there is just a degree to which if you are an old school NXT guy, you're going to get a big pop. If you were an indie... Ring of Honor, not really an indie, but like if you were that sort of
if
you were an indie darling, you're going to get a big pop there too, just because it's that exact crowd.
Yeah. Do you know who I would love to see on a TV taping cycle for a bit? Baron Corbin.
He's an NXT OG. Exactly. Not OG, but he's an NXT guy.
Can you imagine the heat Corbin will get going back to NXT?
Ollie wouldn't watch NXT after that.
He doesn't watch it anyway.
I would like that.
I like
Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin's
overused.
He's overused. He's overpushed. But going back to NXT and being like, I am Raw's Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
And doing his whole, like, I'm much better than you shtick. Now that he's been on the main roster and been in the main events of pay-per-views and been against the likes of Roman Reigns and all these big names, using that as his character development down in NXT would make for fantastic television. Mm. The heel heat he would get would be incredible.
Josh Lynette says, there's a lot of fans of you today, Luke. Luke, can I get a happy birthday George Eaglestone in the style of Best in the World? Shane McMahon, please, for my friend's birthday. So it's George Eaglestone.
Let me write that down. George Eaglestone.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess it's happy birthday, Best in the World, George Eaglestone.
Yeah. So, happy birthday to the best in the world! George Eagleston.
Yes, well done.
Sweating now.
How
Greg does it.
Miguel Ortiz does not ask you to do anything. In fact, he hasn't sent a message at all. But thank you very much, Miguel,
for your donation.
Justin Pilon says, I never liked Breeze's character, but his promo/ring skills and seeing his real personality on Up, Up, Down, Down won me over completely.
Yeah, apparently he's really good on Up, Up, Down, Down. I should watch that show.
He was some kind of champion on there.
Yeah. A belt more prestigious than 24/7.
Yeah. Tomo asked me what he should super chat, and I said, why don't you ask a question for once instead of trying to get yourself over? And he said, did you know that you guys are simply amazing? Average compared to me, of course, I am over.
No, we're not amazing, though.
Why
we
don't you apologize to Tomo, Andy?
give him a virtual handshake.
Shake hands.
Yeah, you know, virtual shake hands.
Like at least. people watching won't get, but yeah.
Austin Tussey says, have you seen Truth's video on Instagram of him hiding in places with the belt? There was one of him hiding in the woods. Gives me hope on the belt.
I always thought this would be the case with the belt, right? Like, I thought it would be entirely for popping the YouTube and
Twitter.
Twitters and the Instagrams and what's that other one?
On the
What's a Snapchat?
Is that the one with the ghost?
But yeah, I think specifically it was kind of designed for people to have fun with on social media. And I think as long as they keep it fun and funny and like, say like when Joey Ryan was defending the DDT Pro title that was, you know, anyone could win anytime 24/7 rule and it was won by Vince McMahon's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and like it was won by the crowd at one point. As long as it's like that, it could be really fun.
Yeah,
because at the moment, it is just a jobber's title.
Oh yeah, and when I watched the clip,
it's good to have something for jobbers to do.
When I watched the clip on Raw and I saw the people going for it, I felt very sad for Bobbert Roode. Very sad for Bobbert Roode. I felt really sad for him actually. I was like, mate, you could have been someone.
Recently,
we're watching NXT TakeOver Chicago 1 for the Patreon podcast as well, when he's NXT champion. I'm like, god damn, you were good. But I sort of felt sad for the people, and I was like, I mean, it's just a jobber belt, who cares? And it was only until after that, when Drake Maverick was posting on Twitter his wanted posters for Truth. And I was like, okay, right, if we can go down this route, if we can get people who are genuinely funny to do funny stuff on social media, then this is all worthwhile.
I think as long as you have smart ideas about what you're going to do, like, clever inventive ways that the title can change hands as well, like, you know, play with the rules of it and really make it funny, it could be really good.
Yeah.
It looks awful, but the concept of it could be amazing.
Let's not forget EC3 is someone who should be a dark horse within this as well, of being someone who could be like one of the most, like, the standouts of the 24 division. Because, like, when Matt Hardy did his first Woken video, and it was the one that everyone made fun of because it was, no one knew what to make of it, because it was like, well, it's The Room, but for professional wrestling. Mm. I think it was he and Drake Maverick, when he was Spud, did a parody, like a shot-for-shot parody in a hotel room. And it's hilarious. Mm. It's so good. So I think EC3 could be someone who could really make this title something.
Yeah, they've got a lot of like genuinely really funny people on the roster. Like, just let them have a laugh with it.
Have someone win it on Up, Up, Down, Down.
Yeah.
And if you go to WrestleTalk.com, I have ranked the top three 24/7 champions of all time. It was very hard to do, but I whittled it down. So go to WrestleTalk.com.
It really is you and Cultaholic of the rankings. Of just like the people, the best at ranking things.
Yeah, I don't know how I did it, but I did it. Tom Havill says, thanks for the great content, boys.
Thank you very much.
Jobber JJ, in response to earlier, says, you are welcome for all the suggestions. You guys give me the confidence to chat.
Oh, mate, thank you very, very much. You've always got the confidence to chat with us. We're harmless.
Danny DeVito.
Looks like a lot of rubbish.
Speaking of harmless, Danny DeVito says, I don't watch NXT, but I do watch y'all, so here's my dollar.
Oh, mate, watch NXT, though. It's good luck. It's only an hour.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Sorry, if you don't like Raw, you'll love NXT.
And I'll be honest, this was a great show.
Yeah, it was really good.
With the exception of Rene Gonzalez, this was a great show. Well, we'll get on to that.
You just don't like her trousers.
they don't know what they are.
ML Dempsey 25 says, R-Truth to AEW confirmed. But seriously, what if he takes the 24/7 belt over as good faith? He's got gold dust there.
I was going to say, if I'm Truth, I would be going to Vegas and just walking around StarCast. Because the social, I mean, granted, you don't want to put too much on AEW. Yeah. But
as soon as he sees a wrestler, he goes, ugh!
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a lot of comedy value in there. Mm. But yeah, maybe you don't want to highlight StarCast too much because WWE think it is an AEW event when it's not.
Yeah.
Justin Edelheit says, Velveteen Dream versus Tyler Breeze in a pose-off.
Ooh,
I like it, yeah.
There's going to be a walk-off.
It's a walk-off.
David Bowie appears from the grave.
Oh, poor old David Bowie. Perhaps I could be of service. Let's dance.
I shouldn't have said that you were over today, Luke, because someone said, yep, Luke Owen is bloody awesome.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's Ed.
Oh, thank you very much, Ed. I'm not that
character. Evie Duran says, I don't actually know what she's talking about, but might be one of you two do. Day 1 of 6 of celebration for WrestleTalk. Laurie Blake is amazing. Thank you for all the laughs. In your face. Hashtag G1 Supercard.
Oh, I think I was just shouting in your face at the G1 Supercard thing. Was that when we were doing the 2K live stream and I was screaming.
And when you beat Ollie.
Yeah. Good times.
That was Evie Durand. She's
not beating him anymore.
She's your fan, Laurie.
Well, we like having you
around.
Thank you.
And the final one for this one is Ant Wilson says, do you think John Moxley will face Hangman Page at Double or Nothing now that Pac match has been cancelled?
Well, we were talking about this on the prediction shows. We're not going to give anything away for our predictions, but our bonus question is, do we think that John Moxley is going to show up in any capacity, whether that be a video package, whether that be, because he is filming a movie at the moment as well, so he could always take a day off, but he is currently on a film set.
I think chances are probably not. I think their long-term plan is probably Pac at some point with Hangman Page, but obviously there are reasons why they've decided not to.
Yeah.
So I don't think you would just shotgun Moxley into that seat, because if they're getting Moxley, they've got plans for him anyway. Probably Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah.
You would hope it's Jimmy Havoc. Yeah. It's like, oh, if you want to go, yeah, we also do hardcore wrestling. Yeah. Here, this is it. Here it is.
Do you want staples and blood?
Yeah.
Here we go. So yeah, I think that Moxley, we might get like a video package from. I think that we will see the AEW debut of Moxley. But in answer of, could he be the one who faces Hangman Page? I wonder if they're going to work that into the Casino Battle Royale of being like, not only do you become the number one contender, or one half of the number one contendership match, one half of the title match, I suppose.
Yeah.
You also get to face Hangman on the pay-per-view.
Oh, maybe. So yeah, that could make
sense. So it's almost an incentive. It's like you're on the buy-in show at the moment, but if you
get to go in the main pay-per-view and then that's a good idea.
Yes, yeah, so there could always be that as
but
well.
Then,
or there's Darby Allin. Darby Allin hasn't got a match.
I feel that kind of makes, Hangman feel like a shoe-in to lose that match as the number one. Unless you were then going to go, like, he's then going to use that as a claim to be in a triple threat match for the title.
But I mean, the thing is, you put Dean Ambrose...
It becomes a bit convoluted then, I think.
The Casino Battle Royale is free, so if you put Dean Ambrose on that, that'll make everyone go...
It's John Moxley.
Well, his real name is Jonathan Good, if you really want to. Put him on that, and then we're like, whoa, okay.
Exactly, yeah. You want to try and get like some big mainstream names. Like, that's why people think if it's going to be CM Punk.
Big Show.
Big Show, obviously. But CM Punk is going to be in that Casino Battle Royale. But Punk's got that MMA gimmick. He's doing commentary on that evening as well.
CM stands for Casino Match as well.
Phone it in.
So we got a recap at the start of the show of War Raiders killing everyone last week and relinquishing the NXT tag titles. And then we cut backstage to William Regal. He says, we don't have any champions now.
Oh, Blumenek,
we don't have any champions. Street Profits.
Someone's come in and nabbed our champions.
Street Profits did pin the War Raiders last week, but it wasn't a proper pin.
It wasn't a real one.
It wasn't a legit pin.
No one was looking.
It wasn't by a sanctioned referee. So instead, we're going to have a match between the Street Profits, Forgotten Sons, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch and Red Dragon in a ladder match for the NXT tag team titles at NXT TakeOver 25.
Awesome.
We are getting a four-way ladder match TakeOver 25 between Street Profits, Forgotten Sons, Burch and Lorcan and Kyle O'Reilly and Bobbitt Fish. Holy heckins, that match sounds awesome.
Montez Ford's going to go through the roof.
He is.
when he jumps off the top of a ladder.
He's going to get to the... He's going to find the tallest ladder he can.
He's going to be up there with Sting.
And Bailey.
and Sting Bailey.
He is going to jump off the biggest ladder he possibly can. This is going to be a barnstorming match.
Yeah.
If this... Like, I could see... I'm trying not to overhype this in my own mind because that's your one-way ticket to disappointment. So I'm also trying not to do that for Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
But... I think this could be one of those. This will be one of those matches that come the end of the year. We'll be like, God, remember that match at TakeOver 25?
Yeah.
We need to talk about this in the top 10 list of the match, best matches of the year.
Yeah, so my only point of being slightly worried is the Forgotten Sons inclusion. However, if this is Forgotten Sons who turned up for the Dusty Classic, then I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and I think it will
be. If this is just regular.
Stay Forgotten.
Normal day of the week, Forgotten Sons. I've been like, meow.
Yeah. I think we're going to get Dusty Classic, Forgotten Sons, going out there with a point to prove.
Who do you think is going to win?
Well, I guess we'll find out when we do our prediction show, but I do think it's Undisputed Era.
You think it's Undisputed?
I
feel like the Jackson Ryker factor might be a thing.
But... Well, we did say, didn't we? I think we did the show. I forget which shows I've done with you and Pete. But we did the show where we were talking about could it be, with Forgotten Sons being overpushed.
We
did that show. We talked about how they could be next in line for the tag champs, tag straps. So
yeah, it depends. Like I think Undisputed Era, maybe it's time to start paying off on that promise.
That's what I'm thinking.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, either way, speaking of the Undisputed Era, they open up this show and all four of them are together and it feels so good. Doing their entrance together did make me think, and I wrote this down, why would you break this team up?
Why would you do anything like that? Yeah.
Why would you even tease the possibility? Yeah. I like the storyline was good, and I feel like we've still got more directions of this to go. All four of them are wrestling at TakeOver as well, which I think is very, very interesting in terms of the story they're telling with Undisputed Era. But when they did their pose and they got their Titantron and they've got their silhouette thing, and I'm like, why on earth would you split this team up?
Well, also because they started, like, that was the thing, when they started being like, we're going to split them up, and that was the story they were doing, that was the first time they put the names on the Titantron. Like, you know, they've got their new logo where yeah. all their names are built into it.
Yeah.
And like they actually added Strong finally to the what was.
Oh, that's been there for a while, hasn't it?
Because it was no, it was. I don't think they had like the whole.
I thought they had that done that shortly
silhouettes
after Strong
and the other stuff.
The silhouettes was new. Yeah, but so I thought the S of the logo had been on since he joined them last year.
I've not noticed it before, but I think maybe that has been. But then they've added all the names yeah. and stuff to Titantron and all that stuff. So there was a lot of like cohesive team-looking Titantron stuff, yeah. and then they just started this. We're going to break them up.
And they've got this amazing entrance. All four of them standing together, just like megastars.
Mm.
I think there is too much.
There's too much money in
there's
that.
There's too much
yeah.
money in the era to break them up. But Cole says that they're all on the same page now. They own everyone. They will be draped in championship gold, which is the sort of promise they've been taking mm-hmm. all this year. He talks about how he's going to be taking the NXT championship at TakeOver. And that brings out Johnny Champion, who says that Cole is happy the gang is back together because he knows that's the only way that he can beat him.
Mm.
Good burns by Johnny Gargano.
Great burns.
And he then started to say that you may have shocked the system, but you didn't shock the school system.
Because you don't understand maths.
Yeah, because Cole keeps making the point, I beat you first at TakeOver. He's like, yeah, but it's a 2 out of 3 falls match. You had yeah. one fall.
And I had...
And two falls. And was it Bobbert Fish who shouted, we know that, dummy! Yeah.
We understand that, dummy!
Bobby was awesome.
Bobby was amazing this evening.
I thought this was... And I like Cole just getting frustrated because Cole is dripping in swagger when he is in control of what he knows he's going to say.
Yep.
He's like an internet troll. He knows what he's going to say. Mm-hmm. He's got it all prepared. He's got it all written down. As soon as someone points out that he's wrong, he just gets frustrated. He goes, shut up, Johnny!
Yeah. Don't point out the fallacy of what I've said.
Shut up! I'm right. Mm. And he says he's going to win at TakeOver. And then from out of nowhere, like a Randy Orton RKO or an Ollie Davis comments, Matt Riddle jumps into the ring and starts beating up all four of them. Mm-hmm. And Johnny runs down there, this big old schmoz, because Roderick Strong had laid out Riddle last week and left him bloody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as far as we know, he found a bloody flip-flop. It could have been anything. It could be for anyone. But yeah, and they Gargano and Riddle bro fist at the end. I thought this was a cool opening segment.
It was a very cool opening segment. Yeah.
And it sets up the main event that we were getting on tonight's show.
Mm. But it also sets up a lot of TakeOver 25 stuff.
Exactly, yeah. The main event of tonight's show, which was Johnny Gargano and Matt Riddle versus Red Dragon.
Yeah.
But it
was so casual, the way in which also Johnny comes out and confirms the match for TakeOver 25. Because like Cole is like, I want another shot.
They announced it last week.
I know, but it's so casual. Like, it's just like, yeah, sure, put it on the list.
Yeah, fine, whatever.
Yeah, fine, whatever. Fine, whatever.
Yeah, and as you say, it sets up stuff for TakeOver 25. Because we've got Matt Riddle versus Roderick mm-hmm. Strong. We've got Red Dragon going for the NXT tag titles. And we've got Cole versus Johnny Gargano. Hope you like the Undisputed Era's music. You're going to be hearing it a lot. First matchup, we got Sean Maluta versus Mansoor.
Mm.
And when Sean Maluta came out, my first thought was, okay, which established wrestler who's previously been on the independent scene are we going to have an exhibition match here for? Is it going to be someone like a Kushida? Is it going to be someone like a Keith Lee or whoever? What like these they tend to do. They bring out someone who's like, you know, in NXT who's training, and then they bring in someone who's a name that people already recognize. Mm. Little squash match. So I was pleasantly surprised when it was Mansoor.
Yeah.
Because he was on NXT a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, he's pretty good, actually. He's got a really good look. He's tall as anything.
Mm.
He's so big. His music's cool. I think he's got a really cool presentation. And I also thought, oh, cool, he's going to get a moment to shine here.
So I'm not a big fan of his music. I feel like his music sounds like library music to me. It's like, it sounds like something off Epidemic.
CFO money, we're not trying that.
Yeah,
they basically just, they've got some presets with doop.
Yeah. But Sean Maluta had like a new look and like all new gear. He was packaged in a way that made me go, oh, is this like Sean Maluta's big push?
Yeah.
No.
Mansoor won.
Yeah.
He went with he did a reverse swinging neck breaker for the win. But he did a really cool like slingshot neck breaker as well, which I thought was nice, like a good little setup move to soften up the neck before he hit his reverse swinging neck breaker. I think he's got a lot of upside, Mansoor. I'm a fan.
So before he did the big jumping swinging neck breaker thing, he does a jumping kick over the top of the turnbuckle. Mm. So like as they're in the corner, he runs up, jumps up, kicks, goes over the top ropes, lands on the apron. Someone in the crowd just went, that was very nice. A really gobby crowd.
I mean, they were right, though.
Yeah,
I was a fan of this.
Yeah,
I was a fan of this. I think Mansoor's got a lot of upside.
Are they pushing him just before they go to Saudi Arabia?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he might be part of that 50-man Battle Royal schmoz. That... I'm still trying to process.
I'm not sure how they're going to fit everyone in the ring.
It's a bigger ring.
Well, yeah.
They're going to have to be on the top of the turnbuckle and stuff.
Oh yeah, like the Rey Mysterio spot.
Mm, yeah.
It's 50
some people.
Minutes.
I guess some people have to start already on the apron, the more precarious position.
Yeah. It's going to be ludicrous to see 50 men standing in the ring at the same
time.
Maybe
the first layer lie down, and the second layer just step on the bodies.
See, what you want to do is you want to get Vince Russo on the phone. He'll tell you, reverse battle royal, bro. And you have to get into the ring first before the actual battle royal
the
starts.
Back of the bastards.
That's what they did for 24/7 belt, wasn't it? Basically, you had to get in the ring first.
Yeah. We then cut back to William Regal's office and Kathy Kelly saying that she's trying to stay on top of the situation. You can hear raised voices from the Undisputed Era inside Regal's office.
William Regal. Big Willie Regs reaming out the Undisputed Era.
Absolutely, he was. And then Regal walks out looking annoyed. And that's when he says that TakeOver is going to be Matt Riddle versus Roddy, and tonight will be Gargano and Cole versus Bobby and Kyle O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
Chef's kiss. Then we got the Velveteen Dream and Tyler Breeze segment, and then we got our next match of the night, which was Candice LeRae versus Reyna Gonzalez. I'm going to pass across to my learned colleague here with his thoughts on this match.
On Reyna Gonzalez's out. Her gear is awful. Like, honestly. So she's wearing crotchless, assless chaps, but they're not chaps. They're just jeans that have been ripped up, and they're completely normal at the bottom. She looks like a goon. And then she comes out holding a cowbell on a rope.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
It's like she's Stan Hansen.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, she's a Texas-born and bred woman on the commentary. And it's like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
That was what you were going for.
Yeah.
The NXT prop department / costume clearly had a day off that day, because normally they're quite on point with what people look like. They do wonders with Dream's gear. Like, his gear's amazing. Week on week, he's got something new to wear. Looks fantastic. But maybe he's taking up all of the time, because this was cack.
Yeah, Reyna Gonzalez. So she was in the first Mae Young Classic, but she didn't have a gimmick. And the whole story, I think they were telling during the second one, is that she's coming in as who she's supposed to be, which is this sort of like redneck
rough
cowboy,
and ready cowgirl,
riding up cowgirl with a cowpole, snake in my boots. And I think that's what they're doing with
awful.
Her now. But it doesn't look great.
No.
And they had a match. I've written virtually no notes for this, with the exception of they did this really weird spot where Reyna has her in a fall away slam position, and then she spins around, and then she spins around again, and then just fell out the ring. I don't know what was supposed to happen. I think Candice sort of like gets out of the hold and throws her out the ring, but it just looks like she stopped, put her down, and then fell out the ring.
I
don't know what they were going for.
I just thought it was nonsense, this match. Like, it was a lot of classic Reyna's really big, does a lot of big person stuff. Candice fires back with some cool, there's a cool like top rope jumping hurricanrana thing, and then a big missile drop kick, and then she lit her up with strikes, which genuinely made McGuinness just be like, "Oh, she's fighting back."
Look at what happened.
McGuinness was on like cruise control this week in general. There was a bit where he was like, "Someone's an MMA fighter, aren't they?" Like, I think it was Sean Maluta. He was just like, "He's an MMA fighter, isn't he?" Something like that. Tomorrow,
Percy. I mean, you're not there, are you?
Damn it!
Gonzalez is from Texas, so that might be
they were saying.
No, she's 6'2".
Oh yeah, she's dead tall.
She's huge. Yeah.
That's why she signed.
Yeah.
It's about the only reason she signed, I think. I didn't think the match was much. Candice won with a lion salt.
Yeah, it was. I don't think it did much for either woman particularly.
Poor old Candice.
Yeah, she's been in what I feel is a holding pattern since
she
started
position.
In NXT, and it just seems like there's never going to be a moment where there isn't some other woman who's just come in that they're really hot on, and Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
Because that's what that's basically what it's been for, like, 2 years now?
Yeah, but we are now in this position, because after the match, Baszler and the Horsewomen storm down to the ring, seemingly targeting Candice LeRae.
Yeah.
And then Io runs down. Io Shirai runs down with a kendo stick. And holy, she was not holding those kendo stick shots back.
My lord.
Absolutely not. She was wailing on these three.
She caned Shafir with one right in the gut.
Oh, it was stiff as anything. Yeah. It was great. Like, it was so passionate and so, like, it was really, really cool. So much intensity. Io Shirai's
awesome.
It's that right choice to make, I think, in women's wrestling, specifically in WWE as well. Like, it's the same thing that Becky and Charlotte did in some of their matches, where they Charlotte did with Ronda as well. It's just like, where they just went, don't hold back. Like, don't pull any punches. Don't do, like, just leather me with this.
Yeah.
And it will make it seem so real and so vital. And this was exactly that. Like, Io just went crazy with this thing.
So awesome.
It was just in tatters by the end of it. It was just like just shards of wood.
It was absolutely awesome. But that kind of then puts Candice LeRae into this NXT Women's Championship picture. So
you think?
Thumbs up. You'd think. Now she's kind of in that mix.
I mean, but she's perennially been around that, like, I think she's always been near the picture.
Yeah.
And she has also always been someone who has been bullied and targeted by Baszler's lot as well. And Baszler, when she was just on her own before Duke and Shafir turned up. And I think it's that same sort of... I think she's got that same thing that Dakota Kai has, where if they need someone who is just sweetness and light babyface for big bad heel people to do something to... And then someone else who's going to get the title shot to make the save.
Yeah.
She is that person.
See, for me, I think this is just before the previous takeover, she was kind of, she had a mini feud with Aaliyah and Vanessa Bourne. And that kind of felt like whoever's winning that is going up the ladder in this NXT Women's Division. And I feel like this
She's had a few more matches recently.
And this is the next step of that ladder. So this now, I think, is like you could almost build to a triple threat or at least get her involved with some of these matches. So I think this is a good step forward for Candice.
I really hope so. I'm just not confident that it is because I feel like she is someone like Keith Lee who might just end up forever doing the same thing. Winning every match, but just in the sidelines.
Next week, we're getting Mia Yim versus Bianca Belair, as well as Kushida versus Drew Gulak. And speaking of Yes Please,
our
main event was Matt Riddle and Johnny Gargano versus the Undisputed Era of Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong. Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, rather. Mm-hmm. And this was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, this match was great. All four of these guys are great, but I thought Matt Riddle was the standout for this. I thought he was so good.
Well, Matt Riddle was the babyface in peril in this one. And it was interesting because that's Johnny's role, usually. And I think they did a very good job of, like, I think this was when Nigel miraculously woke up from his stupor and did a great bit of commentary where he was like, that tape on Matt Riddle, obviously holding him together, but it's a double-edged sword because it paints a target on the ribs. And obviously it's quite a common bit of commentary, but I just thought that was so well said and so pointed out just at the perfect point in the match before the rib targeting really started. Like, he kind of called it just at the right point.
I also think as well that he made a call later on in this where he was talking about how they're not just trying to win the match here. They're trying to soften him up for Roderick Strong at TakeOver.
Who is the Messiah of the backbreaker.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really, really great work. I thought Riddle
was lovely
so
foreshadowing
good.
As well for the end of the match.
Yeah. Like, Riddle does the spot when he's doing his deadlift gut-wrench suplexes that he rolls through into other ones. And he did one of them on Kyle O'Reilly, whose selling of it was absolutely amazing. It was like flopping around like a fish, reaching out for Bobby to help him. And then he just flips him over to the suplex and he's dead. Mm. He's absolutely dead. Then he just deadlifts him back up for another one. I thought he was absolutely awesome.
So he did it to Fish first. So he does the three amigos of that on Fish first. Fish, again, being amazing, just was going, No. He's so good. I love Bobby Fish. More talking from Bobby Fish. And then he did it for Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Did it, flopped over. But again, ribs. He went on the, like, so this is his fifth gut wrench suplex in a row.
Yeah.
And he is the one with the gut wrench.
He's now hurting.
Yeah. Very, very, very smart.
Really, really awesome stuff. I also love the spot when, Riddle, they do some of these dives and stuff. Like, Riddle did these kicks and sentons and just, like, Johnny Gargano super kicks. And then Gargano did the spot where he lawn darts Kyle O'Reilly into a Riddle jumping knee.
Oh, it was good. There was an amazing sequence between O'Reilly and Riddle, where Riddle runs into the ring, tries to break something up. O'Reilly ducks, Germans him.
Mm.
Riddle does his roll through Hulk up.
Yeah.
Straight into a German on O'Reilly. O'Reilly does his wobbly knees, I'm going to fall over stand up, but doesn't. Spinning back fist. Spinning forearm. And then flops down. And as Riddle takes that and falls backwards into ropes, he bounces back off into a massive knee strike. I was like, that was such a cool sequence.
So, so good.
That was an amazing double down. Really,
really awesome. And at the end of the match, Cole comes down and Gargano distracts himself by doing a dive onto Gargano. Mm-hmm. That distracts the referee, allowing for Roddy to attack from nowhere. And he does a backbreaker to Riddle on the apron, rolls him in, and they hit the high-low for the win. Riddle actually chased out of Chase the Dragon as well, but they hit the high-low on him for the win. Mm-hmm. Undisputed Era stand tall. They beat down Gargano and Riddle after the match with a last shot to the back of Gargano's head. I thought it was an awesome, awesome main event. A really good final angle to build towards their match in a couple of weeks. I thought this was a terrific episode of NXT.
Yeah, it was really fantastic. I think this is such interesting, like, it's nice to have gone on this little Undisputed Era internal journey, and we're now tipped out on NXT TakeOver 25, just being like, now we've got all of them in a match, like all on the card, all in separate matches, which hasn't ever happened before,
it's been a long time since it has happened.
So it has happened in the sense that it's happened also when the whole Undisputed Era have all been in a match.
Yes.
But not like they're tiered across all the cards.
I think they've had one when it was the three of them. We might have had Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly in a tag match and Adam Cole in a singles match. But
we've not had the four Undisputed Era men
in different
split
matches.
Across different matches.
Yeah. So
I'm really going to stamp that, like, and considering that was the promo that opens this episode is Cole says, your contracts might say NXT superstars, but you belong to us.
Yeah.
Like, we own you. And this pay-per-view now has become about the Undisputed Era, really. It's amazing.
Awesome episode.
So good.
Awesome, awesome episode. But right, Randy Dadson, what do we got? What are the super chats saying?
What if?
Uh-oh, what if?
The thing will start with Strong against Riddle. What if they come down, help him beat Riddle, and then during the main event, they'll run down, then stop in front of the ring and just watch Cole lose?
Oh, I don't like it because I don't want to break this team up. Yeah. It's good. No, it's good. Like, it's very dramatic in it. I wouldn't have seen it coming, but I don't want to split this team up.
I kind of
want them all to win, to be fair. Yeah.
But I feel like there will be trouble afoot once this pay-per-view is over.
I think more likely is that Cole might win, Fish and O'Reilly win,
and Roddy loses. Yeah,
and then that furthers the weak link storyline, and then the chase becomes Roddy trying to get the North American title because he has a point to prove.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Gargano, I suppose you've got a bad knee, so. But yes, get your super chats in the next few minutes if you want to ask a question. Ant Wilson says, that's the one I did earlier. Tom Haville says, who's the most underrated announcer right now? It's not Beth Phoenix. She is dire.
I don't think she's bad.
Oh,
she
was bad.
Underrated.
Percy
would have been my answer. Yeah.
Because whenever Percy had to step into the second man shoes on the booth, he was actually really, really good.
Yeah.
Vic Joseph?
Vic Joseph's a good shout.
Vic Joseph is great.
Yeah. I haven't really heard Aiden English on commentary.
No.
But yeah, Vic Joseph is a very good shout.
Yeah.
Kathy Kelly.
Yes, she is. ML Dempsey 25 says, sorry to go back to R-Truth again, but I see Carmella winning the 24/7 belt on accident in a hotel room type of skit.
Oh, yeah, I could see that happening. I think she's going to be the first women's holder of that belt. Yeah.
That would be really fun. I like that.
I think so.
Jobber JJ again says, how can Double or Nothing build to TV shows in the future, and how will WWE respond?
They'll build the same way they've been building to Double or Nothing, through the YouTube show, through the AEW's YouTube account, through the Nightmare Family YouTube account, and the being the Elite channel.
Yep. I think they'll make more appearances at indie shows.
Yep.
They'll appear once these deals or whatever sort of relationship they're going to have with your AAAs and
CMLLs.
Yeah, CMLLs, all that stuff. There'll be much more of that for them to use as well. I think mostly the story will just be told across their pay-per-views.
That's it. We've got two more shows in between their next big show, which will be the one in Chicago in the summer. Because we've got Fight for the Fallen in Jacksonville and Fighter Fest, which is a Kenny Omega arranged thing. Although one of the matches for that can't happen now, because that was meant to be Kenny and the Young Bucks versus Pac and the Lucha Brothers.
Mm.
So we'll see what happens with that one. But that's got like Cody versus Darby Allin on it as well. So they've got some shows coming up to build to the next pay-per-view. And then, as you say, using more shows to build to that next pay-per-view, which will then build to the TV show, as well as all their YouTube and online stuff.
Yep.
Benny Boy 004 says Breeze was such an NXT OG that he was the FCW champion. Hopefully, yeah, happens more as it did wonders for Tyson Kidd and Emma when they went back down.
Yeah,
to NXT.
I completely agree. Emma in particular, like, she completely redeveloped that character in NXT when she did like the all, "It's all about me" stuff. Mm. Yeah, really good. So I think it was a great show.
She did well on the main roster as well.
Yeah, I think she is a she's Double or Nothing bound.
Me too. Yeah, well, she left ROH early this year, didn't she?
She did indeed.
Nicholas Witchgram says, what are your thoughts on WWE TV in the UK moving from Sky to BT Sport? Luke and his Sonic Hedgehog shirt for the win. Cheers, guys, for all you do.
Well, that's because this is cool Sonic the Hedgehog, which means it's original Sonic the Hedgehog. Although, actually, I realised this morning when I was brushing my teeth this morning, this T-shirt's 13 years old.
Wow.
He hasn't washed it once.
Yeah, it's got a copyright down over 2006, which is, I bought it when I was at university, which was a long old time ago. What was the question again? Sorry.
Moving from Sky to BT.
Yes. I think it was bound to happen, to be honest. I think that WWE soured their relationship with Sky when they launched the network. They signed a deal with them with like the pay-per-view stuff, and then announced the network a week later, which I think was a really underhanded move by WWE. So I'm unsurprised that the deal is coming to an end. Their TV ratings for Raw and SmackDown on Sky are dire. So I'm completely unsurprised by it, really.
Yeah, I think that's probably... I don't really watch it that way anyway, so it's not... Yeah.
Yeah, more people get BT as well. Like more TV packages have BT Sport in them.
But it's harder to get BT Sports because you have to be a BT customer in order to get it.
No, you don't.
Because a friend of mine tried to order
a
BT.
Virgin.
Oh, really? Because a friend of mine. Okay, that's interesting. Because a friend of mine tried to order. Yeah, a friend of mine tried to order it recently. But because he's a Virgin Internet user, he couldn't get BT Sports. It might just be because it's not Virgin Media, it's just Virgin Internet.
Maybe it was just a very hard-line person he was talking to. Just like, no, you've got to have this package, and they're just trying to suck you in. There's probably more menus further down
if you want to find it, yeah. So they don't make it easy, though, because they don't have much.
Duran says Bugenhagen for 24/7 champion.
He's a great shout for it. He's a quality shout for
24/7 He'd be really
champion.
Good at it. Yeah, I think he'd
be great.
And Wilson says main He's roster now needs Undisputed Era and a Dream. A great faction is needed on the main roster, but would they be booked correctly?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say whether they would be booked correctly or not, but it's a case of I don't think there should be any more NXT call-ups. That roster is already bloated. There's no room for them up on those main rosters. They'll just fall into the mid-card vortex.
I can absolutely see a heel faction working on the main roster again. And I think Undisputed Era would be perfect for it. But yeah, they definitely don't need to go up now. The main roster just needs to work out what it's doing with the pieces it has. Play with the toys you got.
Yeah.
Because you keep messing them up.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if Undisputed Era are booked correctly. Brock will still win.
Yeah.
Other than the Shield and the Wyatt family, what was the last great main roster faction?
League of Nations.
I reiterate the question. What?
The Baron Corbin mid-card of evil.
Yeah. Now, what was the last great faction before Shield and the Wyatt family? There must have been one. Maybe Legacy? Cody, Ted DiBiase, and Randy Orton.
Is that really that good?
No, but it's the only one I could think of. It led to that match where they were meant to elevate both of them at WrestleMania and Randy Orton won. Good job, WWE.
Well done. Classic.
Classic WWE. We're also going to have a match with Triple H and Sheamus. We're really going to elevate Sheamus. Oh, Triple H won, did he? Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
Nexus.
On the day, he was like, I'm going to win it.
Nexus is a good shout. The wheels fell off that wagon very quickly.
I think, again, great on paper.
Yeah.
Terrible in practice because they screwed the pooch.
All those people.
Good debut. I think WWE's plans always is like, we've got a great debut.
Yeah.
And then they just go,
All those people who were petitioning for Game of Thrones final season to be remade by HBO should really be petitioning WWE to remake SummerSlam 2010 so the Nexus can go over.
And lastly, we have four messages from Tomo.
Tomo.
Not saying anything at all.
Oh, well, thank you very, very much. Minutes before we go on air.
Mm-hmm.
I made a bit of a boo-boo yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you in advance of this, because I don't know if we talked about it yesterday, but I'm gonna, on this show, this won't be in the podcast version, it'll be on the live stream, I'm going to have to make a public apology to Randy Datson.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had a bit of a pop at him yesterday.
How embarrassing.
It was very embarrassing for me.
Did you say to him?
Well, it's because the sound started coming out of the computer because he hadn't turned off the volume.
Ugh.
And
Randy.
But then looked at me to fix it. And I was like, you need to fix it. This is literally your job.
Click the button, yeah. Randy.
And he was so slow to react. And I was like, mate, come on.
I don't know. I'm not sure it requires an apology.
But people took to Randy's side, because apparently I didn't speak to him very... in all fairness, I didn't speak to him in a very professional manner.
So, we should have said, Randy, do your job, do your job. Randy, do your job.
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing an apology to him.
Oh.
That you can go check out if you want to watch the live stream version of this. I cut it out of the podcast because there was no need for it to be on that. Here he comes, in fact. Have you got anything planned for this weekend, seen as though you're not coming in for
I'm
double
not
or nothing?
Coming in, no. I am... Plans are loose, but I am going to a festival in Peckham, on Peckham Rye, on Monday, called Jam on Rye, which is... I couldn't tell you who's headlining or what's happening.
Oh, so it's a music festival.
Yeah, but a bunch of people are going.
Instantly, I thought it was a Preserves festival.
And it'll be a lot of... Yeah, no, it's not a Preserves festival, actually. Funnily enough, they don't have many jams. but yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Let's do a quick Jam on Rye. This is going to get me up with...
It's all street food and music and...
Yeah, Jam on Rye Festival frivolity. 2019. According to Google, it is currently closed.
Of course it is.
Oh, I think I've seen adverts for this on the old on the tube. We've got Khalees is playing.
Yeah, see.
And there's just loads of food.
She's confused jam with milkshakes.
Well, her whole her most recent album, was just called Food.
Yeah.
And it was all titles of all of the song titles were recipes from her cookbook. A cookbook which I own and does not have a recipe for milkshake.
What a glaring oversight, Khalees.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, come on,
and I think you've said this to me before, and I've said this joke before as well. But the thing is, the good thing is you don't want to make Khalees' milkshake, because otherwise your yard would be full of boys.
That's the last thing.
You don't want that.
It's the last thing I needed at this point in time. Right, okay, so I'm just going to click the music tab, see who else is there. Omar is playing. I don't know who that is. In fact, actually, she's the only name I recognise so far.
Who else is it?
What
will I be treated to?
Jazzy B, Omar.
Oh, there's a good brass band that's playing.
Wale's Choice, Shy One, The Colours That Rise, Faro, DJ Misbehavior, Brastermind.
Brastermind, right.
Which is pretty good.
Banging for that.
I'm all in for that. Alex Rita, she'll be doing some pita breads on the other side.
Look, I'm... Put it out there. I'm just going to get drunk in a
bit. I'm just going to Peckham to get drunk.
I'm going to Peckham to get drunk and pretend it's a cultural event.
In fairness, when I look at like the food lineup, it's like it does look pretty good.
The food is amazing.
Considering that Khalees has got a food truck there, so you can watch Khalees do music and go get food by Khalees. And Khalees has got some awesome recipes in her cookbook, because she is a fabulous, fabulous chef. I think you made a good, solid choice.
There we go,
there,
yeah.
Good, solid choice.
And I'd listen to whatever song she's singing at the time. I'll choose that food.
Yeah.
That's it.
Jerk Ribs. If we think that her song titles represent the best food within her truck, then the Jerk Ribs will be the best, because that was the best track on the album.
Ah, there we go. So, the Jerk Ribs is the one I'll go for.
There you go. Well, decisions made.
And I might have to bring a McDonald's milkshake, I guess. Because Khalees doesn't do them for some reason.
No, exactly, yeah. Well, she doesn't want to bring all those boys to her yard in front of her van. She's only got so much space.
You want to bring them to this yard, Khalees. They have to pay for their tickets. Idiot.
Idiot. There's a line in Phoenix Wright 3. There's a character in there who's like, and all the men just fall in love with this character, Dahlia. Everyone just falls in love with her essentially because she's very sweet and very innocent. And like the judge falls in love with her, and like the prosecutors fall in love with her, and all that. And you're playing as Mia Fey, who's Phoenix Wright's mentor, and she's like, "Well, we know milkshake brings all the boys to the yard."
Ooh.
cultural rewriting, wow. I'd imagine, there, yeah, from the Japanese text original.
Epic Capcom rewrites there from the localization
team. That's what I'd imagine. Yeah. So I'd also imagine they also rewrote the line when, in the second game, when you're interviewing a clown on the stand and he gets whipped by Francisco von Karma and he says, in West Clownadelphia, born and raised, and just starts doing the lyrics to the Fresh Prince.
I mean, that's the weird thing about Phoenix Wright, though, is that they, like, it's so obviously Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
But when it's... Just that stuff just gets sort of wiped out in the game and kind of unexplained. So there's a lot of cultural Japanese stuff baked into the game that you just goes over your head if you don't know what it's about.
Absolutely.
Like, I had to look up half of it and be like, what is this about? Like, yeah. Is it Mia Fey? Why does she just live in a like magical village?
Yeah, she lives in the Kurain village, the Kurain temple. Mm. Lots of Japanese stuff in there. But yeah, they do keep some stuff in. Like for the fact that one of the guys that you're representing in a sort of a mini case in part 3 kidnapped his 14-year-old girlfriend, which, you know.
Hey.
You've got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You've got to try and defend this man.
Yeah.
Anyway, right, let's crack on with... Oh, no, we're not cracking on. We're going now.
see ya.
We this time are about to crack on with the live show, though, but you're going to crack on with the rest of your day. Stop listening to
have
this.
Have a good one.
We will see you tomorrow, or at least I will, for our AEW interviews. No, our AEW predictions, then likely our AEW interviews on the Saturday. So very much look forward to those. But until then, take care. I love you. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.